In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for inviting me. It's not a huge adventure to come all the way from Hale Barnes to here, because my daughter and her husband just lived up Mobberley Road, so it's quite a familiar route to me, so it's really good to be here, and thank you, Mike. She said to me, "What are you worried about? Women give birth all the time." "Yes," I thought, "but I don't." I'd read every book there was, with all their conflicting advice, horror stories and graphic details. And of course, the current news has brought that home to us with all that's gone on in Nottingham. And so our prayers are for those people affected by that awful time. But I wonder how Elizabeth felt. She'd already had enough worries to deal with. She'd had a husband who'd had some kind of religious revelation in the temple and could no longer speak. Maybe it was a blessing. She had a cousin who'd been and shared news that she was to give birth to the saviour of the world, and then felt her own child moving in her body in response to that one. This definitely was not an everyday experience for her. But by the time we get to the reading tonight, the gospel reading, all has seemed to have gone well. She has given birth. Luke spares us the details of the birth, despite him being Luke the physician. But birth is very rarely an easy thing in my experience. But after all the long hours of labour, when the child is in your arms and safe, then they say that new mothers often say to the child tenderly, "It's all right. It's okay. You are loved." Or maybe if you were the prophet Isaiah holding that child in your arms, you might have said, "Comfort, oh comfort my people. Comfort God's children. The long wait is over and life is changed forever now, one way or another." Isaiah's picture even suggests that fell runners are no longer going to be challenged by mountain or hill or uneven ground and rough places, allegedly. Is that true, Mike? No. The announcement is all very well, but it is different for us. And it feels like we are going to have to wait for a long time for these things to happen. Our lives will sometimes be uphill and sometimes mud splattered. But then, waiting is part of the way of the universe. Have any of you watched Spring Watch this year? Looking at all the nests and the various animals and what they were doing and whether there was a badger coming out of the set or not. You had to wait a long time for lots of these things to happen. You'd look at the bird parents and there was the egg laying and then another great long wait and the brooding and the hatching and the fledging. It seems to take forever. It takes time. And Elizabeth will have waited those 9 months, if not years, before that. Zechariah has been silent for 9 months. There was time to contemplate, to prepare, to wonder. Before ordination, there is time for preparation. There will have been wonder and anticipation and mistakes, revelations, a bit of worry, and plenty of reflection. Mike's, like any ordination journey, will not have been instant, nor is it likely to have been the same as everybody else's, nor will it have been easy. But I love the significance that today is Mike's first Mass celebration. John the Baptist, I understand, has played a part in that journey. The words of the Benedictus that we say every morning at morning prayer, Zechariah's son of rejoicing when his son is born, is full of hope and promise and commission. Commission to announce freedom, to prepare people to hear the good news of God's love, to pronounce God's forgiveness, to be someone who can help shine light in dark places. And tonight, to speak words on God's behalf through Jesus Christ. So to consecrate and bless, to make real the body of Christ in the Eucharist through the power of the Holy Spirit. Given the choice, I'm not sure I would probably choose John the Baptist as an inspiration. His life wasn't a comfortable one. His birth was challenging enough. He was called as a prophet with responsibility of pointing people to the Messiah. He himself felt unworthy, taking on and walking in the footsteps of that great prophet Elijah, one of the heroic figures of the past who traditionally would return to announce the Messiah. Inevitably, he would have had some self-doubt. He wondered whether he was good enough, whether he'd got it right. When he's in prison, he questions Jesus as to whether he is the Messiah after all. And then he comes into conflict with the authorities and finally is killed. Where is Isaiah's message of comfort in this? John the Baptist is a troubled and a troubling figure. Maybe he's more like any of us, called to do something tricky or important than we'd care to admit. But here at the beginning of John the Baptist's life is his family and his friends, and they too are left to wonder, as many parents will continue to do, what then will this child become? It even starts off weirdly by having a name that's not the family name. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. We later hear of his unconventional appearance and wild words. But the name John means God is gracious. Looking at his life, we might think that's a strange way of showing God being gracious in his up and down life. But it is real. So it's not about being perfect, not about being rewarded. You did not choose me, but I chose you, said Jesus later, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So, still looking for Isaiah's comfort. Is it healing? Is it peace? Is it fluffy lambs? Well, not in John the Baptist's life as it unfolds. He has a message of coming judgment and the need to turn lives around and to look ahead. Well, from now on, we all know that the nights are drawing in. It won't be long before it's Advent, John the Baptist time. The number of weeks preaching about John the Baptist is lots in Advent. John says he must increase, but I must decrease. The darkness begins and Christ's light begins to shine. Apparently, at the Cheshire Show, people were doing their Christmas shopping. It feels like a headlong rush sometimes until Christmas, but it won't be long. It won't be long before the luxury food shops will be selling something called pan forte. It's described as a chewy Italian dessert containing fruit and nuts, an Italian Christmas tradition. Pan forte, meaning strong bread. And there are all kinds of goodies in it. And you can have a gluten-free one, apparently, Mike. So there are almonds, apricots, figs, dates, spices, honey, walnuts, pistachios. John the Baptist would have enjoyed it, locusts or not. It's the kind of food that my grandmother would have said sticks your ribs together. But this isn't the bread, the pan forte, that Jesus gives, heavenly as it might be. Jesus gives himself as the true bread from heaven. And so that is why it is such a privilege as a priest and an honour to consecrate at the Eucharist, to bring people into Jesus' presence, at the Last Supper, the Feast of Heaven, history, present day, and future. I love that phrase used in Godly Play, which says, we are there at the Last Supper, and he is here now. Our existence is changed. You are the body of Christ now. I think this is closer to Isaiah's comfort, a new significance, bread that gives you strength. Not an empty there kind of comfort, but a life-transforming comfort, strengthened with the bread of heaven, with, con, strength, fort, comfort, God with us. The Book of Common Prayer invitation has it there. Take this sacrament to your comfort, to make you strong, to give you a sense of Jesus Christ alongside you in the challenges and the pains and the joys of life. The words a parent might say, "It's all right," comfort to the newborn child of God. Jesus Christ is alongside us in sacrament, alongside us in life's challenges and births and deaths. Mike in his priesthood, and each in their own calling, have Christ's comfort beside them, not guaranteeing our perfection, but offering to be God with us. Here, in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high has broken upon us. And here in this moment, Christ gives us his body and blood and makes us strong. So with prophets and heralds of the kingdom, we need not fear. And we can hear again Isaiah's words in this time, on this altar, among us and in this place, as we receive the bread of heaven and the wine of the kingdom. Comfort. O comfort my people. Do not fear, for now here is your God. Amen.